You are Locked On Clemson, your daily podcast on the Clemson Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Clemson Nation, how you doing today? Welcome to the Locked On Clemson Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. That's right. Monday through Friday, you can always get the latest going on in Clemson athletics, including the Clemson football team, ranked number 4 in the country, taking on the Florida State Seminoles on Saturday at noon. And we'll start to take a look at that game on this episode today. Going to dive a little bit into Trevor Lawrence first, though, as he is back in the fold as the starting quarterback for the Tigers. I'll give you some updates just on how he's feeling, how he's doing, and where is he in the Heisman Trophy race. So I'll talk about with the Tigers starting quarterback. Also, fact or fiction coming up today. Got three statements that I'll throw out at you and let you know whether I think those are fact or fiction. And then finally, I'll wrap things up with a look at what this game means for both teams, both perspectives. Clemson, a 34.5-point favorite in this one. They're going to win the football game, but what else are the goals this week for the Tigers, and what can the Seminoles salvage from this one as well? I'm your host, Brad Singleff. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad Singleff. That's with a W at the end of it. And make sure you tell everybody about Locked On Clemson Podcast. I'm also the co-host of The Press Box on 105.5 The Roar in Clemson and deputy editor at allclemson.com, where I write every day for the SI Network. Let's get right into it. Trevor Lawrence is back. He has returned. He's on the practice field this week for the second week in a row. Healthy, COVID-free, passed all the tests he needs to pass, and he is going to be on a tear as he wraps up his Clemson career. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence has been, gosh, he has been scrutinized and talked about and asked so many questions over and over and over again. And I've just been impressed this year with the way he's handled himself from the media standpoint. It goes all the way back to late in the summer. Well, you can really go back to early in the summer. He was a part of several movements and very outspoken about social injustice, and certainly what he said about getting the season off and running this year, the We Want to Play movement, just been someone who's been in the spotlight all season long. And, you know, by this time of the year, I'd be pretty tired of it if I were him. But he continues to handle himself with professionalism, even though he is still a student athlete, and that's going to bode well for him at the next level. But Trevor Lawrence talked with the media this week. He is ready to go. He feels like he's 100%. You know, he doesn't feel like there's any lingering issues in terms of his stamina and being able to play a full game. I mean, you're talking, it's been a long time. You have not seen him since the Syracuse game. That was before Halloween. That was the week before Halloween, and he has not played since then. But, you know, he talked about his perspective this week and how that has sort of evolved and changed throughout this year. You know, he went into it a little bit different mindset than he's had in past seasons because he realized he may not get this year, and how lucky he feels that college football is even being played. And so he said it's really put that in perspective for him. And it's the little things. You know, he missed all that time because of COVID-19, stayed away from his teammates for a lot of that, and that really bothered him. You know, he said you just miss the little things. It's hanging out in the locker room after a win. It's being with the guys on the bus and in the team hotel and all that kind of stuff. It's made him appreciate what he's doing right now, where his feet are. And again, I've talked about this many times. He's not looking ahead to the NFL, not on his mind just yet. He's staying focused on what he has right in front of him. And he said he's not taking it for granted. And I think you're going to see that on the field. I don't know what it is. I just got a feeling because of this being kind of the last stretch run, only 3 regular season games left, and probably an ACC championship game and potentially a college football playoff run, it feels like Trevor Lawrence realizes the urgency and knows that the end of his career is near at Clemson because he's going pro after this year. And so I think he's going to play with his hair on fire the rest of the season. I think you're going to see the best version of Trevor Lawrence moving forward that you've seen in his career. And I think you're really going to get the absolute best out of him and finds a way to really push his name up there in this Heisman race. Now, he said he's not thinking about the Heisman. However, he has paid a little bit of attention to it. He's seen his name drop. He's seen his odds drop. It's amazing. Like, you don't play for 3 weeks and people forget about you. That's called a popularity contest, which is really what the Heisman is. I mean, let's be honest here. It's not necessarily about the best player in college football. It's not even the most recognizable player sometimes. It's the flavor of the day, the flavor of the month, the flavor of the week, whatever. That's kind of what it feels like right now with Trevor Lawrence. He's sort of fallen out of that upper tier. And, in fact, Kyle Trask, now the leader, the Florida quarterback, in betting odds to win the Heisman Trophy. And for the record, I don't think Trask wins it, even though his numbers are going to be absurd. I still think one of these quarterbacks who goes undefeated, and Trevor Lawrence technically can go undefeated. He was not the starting quarterback in Clemson's loss to Notre Dame. So anxious to see kind of where he ends up. I still think he has a chance to win it. You know, I've said all year that I thought he was going to win it, and then I sort of started to change that tune a little bit. I'm kind of back now to a point where I think Trevor Lawrence has a decent chance at winning this award. We'll see. We'll see how close he ends up getting here over the course of the next 3-4 weeks and what kind of mark he can make. I still think he plays really well. I think his numbers are going to be really good. There's a lot of competition. I don't know about Justin Fields of Ohio State. Mac Jones, I think, is legit in this. Trask will continue to put up huge numbers. And in the end, it may come down because of the weird year. It really could come down to maybe I'm selling Trask short. Maybe he wins it just for the fact that he's going to have the most ridiculous stats. And sometimes that's all people want to look at. I could see that as potential here. Regardless of the Heisman, Trevor Lawrence wants to end his career on the highest note possible. And that's still a run of the college football playoff. And he's got a chance to do that with the Tigers down the stretch here. And if they win out and go undefeated the rest of the way, he's going to be in a very good shot at being in the college football playoff and extending his career for a couple more games and have the opportunity to take on his second national title in 3 years. I think ultimately that's what he wants to do. It's all about the team. It's all about, you know, winning and holding that trophy at the end of the year, not necessarily about holding that Heisman Trophy in December. Regardless, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to play extremely well here down the stretch, and we'll see where he ends up ranking in terms of the Heisman. However, he will rank as one of the greatest quarterbacks Clemson has seen, and certainly an opportunity to build upon his legacy, his numbers, his stats, and everything he's meant to this program down the stretch of his career. Coming up next, let's take a look at some fact or fiction statements concerning this game between Clemson and Florida State. What can you expect to see? I'll throw three things at you and let you know whether I think they're true or false. Everybody wants to be health conscious out there. You want to make sure you're paying attention to what goes in your body. It's got to be the right thing. It's got to make you feel better. It's got to be high in protein. It's got to be low in sugar. It's got to be low in calories. And it's got to taste good too, right? Yeah, it can. That's what Built Bar is for. Built Bar is the more delicious-er version. It's new and improved. They've got 6 brand new flavors. You got to check this out. Built Bar is built for the health-conscious guy. Help yourself lose weight, maintain your weight, and have a delicious treat. Every bar is soft and chewy, covered in chocolate. You're going to think you're eating a candy bar. You're not going to think that this is healthy for you. This is going to help you get that protein in your body before your workout or that midday snack or maybe a late night bite real quick before you go to bed. This is going to help you in so many ways. Go to BuiltBar.com today. That's BuiltBar.com. Type in the code LOCKED ON, 20% off your first order. 20% off your order at BuiltBar.com when you type in LOCKED ON. Now it's time for fact or fiction. I'm going to make this one about the Florida State Clemson game. Those two teams getting started at noon on Saturday. The Tigers a 34.5 point favorite. So let's start with that. Clemson will go on the road to Tallahassee and cover a 34.5 point spread against the Florida State Seminoles. I think it's fact. You look at the last couple years in this series. Clemson, 2018, 59-10. Clemson, in 2019, 45-14. That's 104-24 over the last two seasons. That breaks down to a 80-point difference. So that's 40 points per game. Clemson has been better than Florida State. You're getting like a whole touchdown less than that. And that's just the two-year average. And I think this year, Florida State is even worse shape than they have been the last couple of years that Clemson's played him, at least from a personnel standpoint. Coaching is better. Mike Norvell is a better coach than Willie Taggart. But he just flat out doesn't have the horses right now and doesn't have the ability, I think, to really challenge Clemson, especially up front. I think Florida State's going to get dominated up there. And then you go and look at their depth chart. Good luck finding names that you know. Quarterback situation, very dire right now as Florida State. Not only did James Blackman transfer out of the program a couple weeks ago, but now they've also lost their star freshman, Chuba Purdy, who started one game. That's it. Now he's having season-ending surgery, and that means they're down to Tate Rodemaker, another freshman, and the presumed starter, Jordan Travis. However, Travis has been banged up as well. So these guys, this is not a healthy team. And you know Marvin Wilson, the defensive tackle, is not there anymore. The best offensive lineman's out for the season. And then, of course, Tamarian Terry, the best receiver, he opted out. So this means that Florida State is about least amount of fully funded that I think they've been in this series the last couple years. Clemson, meanwhile, does have its injury issues, but the Tigers get Trevor Lawrence back in this one. Could have Tyler Davis, could have Mike Jones. You got to think there's going to be a really concerted, strong effort. A bye week is what they're coming off of. A loss to Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. I think you're going to see a very focused Clemson team. I think they cover this spread. So, fact, Clemson does cover the 34.5-point spread. Number two, fact or fiction, the Clemson Tigers will rush for over 200 yards. Crazy stat here that I uncovered earlier this week. Clemson, on the season, has one game where they've rushed for 200 yards or more. That was against Miami. They went for 258 against the Hurricanes, and they absolutely manhandled that Miami front. Well, since then, no games over 200. Before that, no games over 200. Last year, through the first eight games of the season, which is what the Clemson Tigers have played this year, they had 200-yard games in six of the eight, including three that went over 300 yards. And the Tigers have not come close to that this year. That changes this week. Talked a lot about the issues in the run game for Clemson this year. I think you're going to see a team that is going to come out and run the football down Florida State's throat. This is the last ranked team in the conference in rushing yards allowed per carry. So the Seminoles defense, especially without Marvin Wilson, are going to get beat up and they're going to get pushed around. And I think Travis Etienne has a big day, and you're going to see them rush for over 200 yards in this game for only the second time all season. So fact, the final fact or fiction, this current Clemson run has been very impressive. The Tigers have five consecutive ACC titles. Going for their sixth this year. They got to win out and beat Notre Dame in Charlotte to do it. But the opportunity is there. Clemson will continue this run and match Florida State's amazing nine consecutive ACC titles, which they pulled off from 1992 through 2000. The Florida State Seminoles, if people, some of you younger people may not remember, were one of the most dominant programs in all of college football during that period. That portion of that decade, I'm not sure I saw a team that was as consistent as them. 99-11-1. They beat Clemson nine consecutive times that year or that decade and owned the ACC in every single way. Played in five Orange Bowls, three Sugar Bowls, a Fiesta Bowl, and won two national titles during that run. Clemson owns something that's at least similar, it's at least on par. The closest thing I think we've seen in the ACC by far to what Florida State did during that dominant decade. Can Clemson do that? Can they equal that? I think it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really hard. I think the ACC is getting better. I don't think anybody's at the level of Clemson or anything close to what Florida State was during that time. But I also don't think these programs are that far off. I think North Carolina can make some inroads. They're getting much better at recruiting. They're starting to turn the corner there. They need to get better in certain areas. And, I mean, this year notwithstanding, that's a program that's on the rise. And with Sam Howell there, maybe for only one more year, it's going to be about the next quarterback. It doesn't appear if Notre Dame is going to stay in the league. It feels like this is the one-and-done year. If Notre Dame does come back into the ACC, it'll be down the road. But you look at this Irish team. Right here and now, they may stop Clemson's run. I mean, they just beat them in double overtime 2 weeks ago. And if the Irish Can catch some breaks again, and Clemson not be quite as healthy. I don't think it's out of the question that Notre Dame, even if Clemson's fully funded, can play that Tiger team tough. So let's don't count out Notre Dame this year ending Clemson's streak at 5. So Clemson would have to win this game and then 7, 8, 9 the next 3 years. So I think it's certainly possible that Clemson pulls this off. However, I'm going to go fiction because I just think if there's any chance Notre Dame is back in the league or the way that North Carolina is moving upward, I don't know so much about Louisville. I've never thought the Cardinals were ever going to get to an elite status, even with a good coach like Scott Satterfield. I feel like they have a ways to go. And Florida State's going to be back at some point. I really, truly believe that. They're not going to stay down forever. The problem is, I don't know if they can do it in the next 3 or 4 years. And that's what we're talking about, have to stop Clemson. So it just feels like there's going to be some year some team is able to knock off the Tigers in the ACC championship. 9 feels like a lot. That would be remarkable and historic to match Florida State back when Florida State didn't have to win a conference championship game. They just would outright win the conference. So it's a little bit different now. I just think Clemson at some point, some year, is going to run into somebody in Charlotte that can knock them off. And then maybe there's 1 year where they slip up and lose a game or two and somebody else has an amazing year and is able to go to the ACC championship and represent. So there's a lot that's going to happen here. And we don't really know with COVID-19 what the future of the ACC truly is for next year. I don't know if we go back to normal with the scheduling. It's just a lot of unknowns. So I'm going to go for right now, fiction, that Clemson can match Florida State's 9 consecutive ACC championships. Coming up next, going to break this game down between the Florida State Seminoles and the Clemson Tigers in terms of what these two teams are trying to accomplish. What's the goal this week? It's not going to be to simply win the game because Clemson is going to win the game. 34.5-point favorites, as I mentioned earlier. Florida State, nowhere near personnel-wise, the ability to beat this Clemson team. So what does each team try to get out of besides the winning and the losing? Discuss that coming up. Wrapping up this episode with a look at Clemson and Florida State. What are they trying to get out of this game? You know, the Tigers, coming off that bye week, coming off a loss, they're hungry. I mean, I really feel like this team's about to kick it into another gear. I feel like that they did this back in 16 when they lost to Pitt late in the season. They just looked unstoppable after that. They went on to win the national title and beat Alabama for their first championship since 1981. So I feel like this is a team that is poised to start playing its best football. I think they've identified the issues they need to improve on. The question is, how much do they improve? And I think this game is going to be a little bit telling. Florida State's not going to be good. Florida State is going to struggle to move the football. They have no passing attack. They have Jordan Travis as their quarterback. He's mainly a runner. They're not going to be able to really challenge Clemson. But the Tigers have got to get better at containing the quarterback. And Travis brings an opportunity to do that, to improve on that, because he's going to scramble. He's not going to sit there in the pocket and try to go through 2, 3, 4 reads. He's going to look, nothing there. He's going to take off running. So this is sort of a good practice opportunity for the Tigers to get better at keeping guys in the pocket, containing them. They were terrible against Mbuk. Mbuk hung in there, made all kinds of plays. It wasn't that he was scrambling to run for, you know, 20, 30 yards. He was scrambling around in the pocket just waiting for passing lanes to open up. And he did a tremendous job of that. You got to give him a ton of credit. And that Notre Dame offensive front. This Florida State front's not that good. So I think first and foremost, can Clemson get after the passer and contain him a little bit? Can they just keep him in the pocket and not allow the opportunity to slide around and move around and move the pocket? And you know Travis is going to want to get out and run a little bit too. So it's a good opportunity. It's a good test there. I think something else you want to see out of Clemson this week. Number one thing for me, can they just play clean football? You know, cut down on the penalties, the silly mistakes, protections have to be better on special teams. Don't put the ball on the turf. You know, come out and play with enthusiasm early and get off to a good start. It's little things. I mean, that's what's plagued this team. It's a bunch of little things that have added up. You can blame it on injuries. You can blame it on youth and experience and having to go deep down the depth chart. I mean, I don't care what you want to call it, but they've not played clean football. And Dabo Swinney cannot stand that. Coaches cannot stand when their teams aren't disciplined enough and don't do the little things well. The little things something Clemson thrives on and allows you to do the big things even better. So if they can take care of that this week and play a little bit cleaner, I think, go a long, long way in helping this team as they move forward the rest of this season. Because Florida State's not going to be the toughest of foes. You got to play clean against a team like this. And if you don't, you let a team like Florida State hang around. If you come out and you play clean football and you hit some big plays, you blow them out, the game's over quickly. And then you can enjoy the second half, rest some guys, and get ready for next week's game against Pitt. For the Seminoles, what are they after in this game? I don't know. I mean, what is Florida State going to accomplish here? You know, Mike Norvell's first game against Clemson, I think it's going to be important for him to evaluate his team against the Tigers. He's going to probably play a lot of young guys that he's going to need next year. He's going to play some players he's going to need 2 years from now. So this will give him a chance to just sort of see how talented Clemson is, how fast Clemson is, and where he needs to get his program. It's almost like Dino Babers when he got to Syracuse. That first year, he brought his team to Death Valley, and they got blitzed. I think they were held scoreless in that game. Clemson absolutely blew them out, and that's when Deshaun Watson was hurt. He wasn't even healthy back in that game in 16. And then the next year, he beat Clemson. So I'm not saying Norvell's going to make that kind of jump, but I remember Dino walking out of that game saying, hey, my program has to get better here, here, and here. Clemson is the top dog in this league, and if we want to play with them, we've got to get better. And he used that game to evaluate his team. You can use a blowout to do nothing and chalk it up to, well, that team's just better. Or you can use it to make yourself better and your team better. That's a chance for Mike Norvell to do that. We'll see if that's the case on Saturday at noon. This is going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Clemson Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please hit the download button, subscribe, tell your friends and your family all about it. Help us grow here at the Locked On Clemson Podcast. Tomorrow's episode, going to get into Tigers in the pros. Also, more about Clemson and Florida State. Hopefully some injury updates as well from Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. Have a great day. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow, Clemson Nation. It's been a week already. Man, one thing after another. You just want to hit the reset button. You just want a chance to kick back, relax, enjoy the football. Who cares who's on TV? Sit back and relax and rewind with a beer that is literally made to chill. I reach for a Coors Light. You should too, because it's cold-filtered, cold-lagered, cold-packaged. It's the perfect way to hang out and chill during football, no matter who's playing. And it's going to help you get to that point where you're ready to hit the reset button. Don't worry about what's ahead. Relax with a Coors Light, a beer that is literally made to chill. Go check it out. It's crisp as the Colorado Rockies. And you can get it now delivered right to your door. It's very simple. Go to get.coorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com. Go check that out today. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.